Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, we have a lot to go over this week. Turns out a lot has happened in 2 weeks when we, you know, do 2 weeks worth of shows every couple weeks. I'm babbling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I haven't had coffee yet. So, first up for our intro section, thought we would talk a little bit about some minor news that came up regarding D&D recently.
Sure.
Yes. Kyle Brink, who's the team lead for the tabletop team for Wizards of the Coast Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
He's been making the rounds, doing the PR stuff for Wizards of the Coast, trying to win back fans. I know he did an interview with Ginny D recently that I saw. Mm-hmm. And this one that, you know, brought up this particular topic was during his interview with Bob the World Builder.
Right.
And most people have been giving him not really softball questions, but, you know, the usual, asking him about the whole OGL kerfuffle and whatnot. But also tossing in the occasional other question, too. One that I thought was interesting from Bob was asking about D&D Shorts, another YouTuber who kind of led the brigade and put forth some pretty strong information, that some of which turned out to be incorrect during the whole kerfuffle. He had actual sources, but they were mistaken. So he put out some information that was bad, and that was not great. But Bob asked if Kyle Brink was going to go and do an interview with D&D Shorts, and he said no, he wouldn't be comfortable doing that, just because the whole dynamic.
Well, and they'd rather ostracize him than help his channel.
Right, right. So D&D Shorts is basically, he's big, and it would really get the word out there, but at the same time, yeah, that relationship is pretty screwed up.
And the problem is, for them, if they ostracize him, he becomes a martyr and his channel grows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know he did, D&D Shorts did say once during the kerfuffle that during all the time he has supported D&D and done stuff which helped, you know, spread the word and grow the game, during all that time, Wizards of the Coast never reached out to him, never mm-hmm. did anything for him, never offered to work together or anything. They basically just used it as free PR.
Right.
And now they're tossing him aside. Which, all right, giant corporation, they're going to do what they're going to do. Whatever. We all know what they are. But that's neither here nor there. The big question that came up that I thought was really interesting was when Bob the World Builder asked Kyle Brink about Dark Sun. You remember Dark Sun?
Barely. It wasn't my favorite setting. Let's just put it that way.
Nor mine, but I know some people who absolutely loved it from the second edition days. The last time it popped mm-hmm. up was in fourth edition, actually. And, you know, that's great. But the problem was, it was a very harsh and bleak setting. Everybody started at third level, and everybody had some form of psionics, and there was some problematic content like slavery and whatnot, which was great for its time. Late 80s, early 90s, fine. I know our cousin really loved Dark Sun, and so a lot of people love Dark Sun. But, well, I'll just read what Kyle Brink had to say specifically about it. Quote, I'll be frank here. The Dark Sun setting is problematic in a lot of ways. And that's the main reason we haven't come back to it. We know it's got a huge fan following, and we have standards today that make it extraordinarily hard to be true to the source material and also meet our ethical and inclusion standards. We know there's love out there for it, and God, we would love to make those people happy. And also, we gotta be responsible. Unquote. And the Chuds lost their shit.
Well, Chuds be Chuds.
Yeah. I mean, for years, they keep screaming, what about Dark Sun? What about Dark Sun? Hoping that one day it would come back. And now they got their answer. But it wasn't the answer they wanted. So, yeah. I guess that's a boo-hoo. That sucks for you. Now, I have a friend who, his favorite setting was Dark Sun, and he didn't want to hear this, but at the same time, he gets it. But then again, he also says, yeah, 5th edition isn't D&D for him. He's very old school revival, and he doesn't think 5th edition is really D&D. It's too weak sauce. So, okay. But what's great is, he has the Dark Sun books for 2nd edition. And he has 2nd edition, which is his favorite edition. So, there you go. Have fun.
Why should he care, then?
Right. It's just, if it had been refreshed for 5th edition, he has the 5th edition core books. So, he would probably have got the new edition of it just to check it out. And maybe because more people want to play 5th edition than 2nd edition, so he probably would have picked it up and seen if he could get a group going. Great. And I was like, you know, even if they went and neutered it completely, tore out all the, you know, problematic parts, you've got the 2nd edition books. You slap that back in. You play it the way you want to play it. But now that's not an issue. That's just not going to happen. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on that?
The problem is, the problematic issues with Dark Sun were also problems with the Underdark.
True.
And I've noticed that the Underdark hasn't come back yet. Probably for the same reason.
Yep. If they're going to hold back on Dark Sun, I would expect we're not going to see an Underdark campaign setting. Which is, you know, it's too bad. But it may not be exactly the same, but I could see somebody doing a Dollar General version of Underdark. Something along the same lines with much the same themes, just not called the same stuff. They rename it, make it different things, and put it out as a third-party supplement. Especially since the OGL is now in Creative Commons. What's Wizards going to do about it?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
I mean, hell, they put Illithid into the Creative Commons.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty sure you could do it. Beholders and Illithid are both in there. So, eh. Anyway, so shall we move on to the first main topic?
Sure.
Cool.
Roll the dice to see if I'm drunk.
Okay, so Bealus,
yes.
Did you see the news recently out of Kobold Press regarding Project Black Flag?
Some of it.
Yes, they...
I'm not hugely interested in Project Black Flag, but, you know...
Really? I thought you were following it.
Eh.
Well, people have been wondering what this new game was going to be, because they're making their own role-playing game after the whole OGL kerfuffle. And they put out their first playtest packet, which, just so people know, ends on the 28th. So... if you're not listening to this show in the first couple days and you haven't downloaded it yet, you may have missed your chance. But we do provide a link to how you can get it in the show notes. So you can go to squirmy.com and find the link there if you want. Regardless, what it covers is lineage, heritage, and talents. Which is kind of a, you know, easy way to slip into what the game is. And I think the easiest way to explain it is just that it's basically, what would be a good way of putting it? It's like the original Pathfinder without being the original Pathfinder. You remember how Pathfinder First Edition was built off of the original D&D 3.5 rules? It was kind of
right.
An expanded version of 3.5.
Well, they kind of cleaned up some of the rules that people had issues with and made it more playable.
Right, right. Well, this is like that. It's completely compatible with D&D 5th Edition. So, and I completely get what they're going with. Kobold Press has written a lot of content for 5th edition. And they wanted all those books to be compatible with Black Flag.
Right.
So, their system, their new game, is going to be 100% compatible with those books. It's just the things they've changed are interesting. I mean, you've got the same core six attributes and stuff like that. Like a lot of old school revival games tend to have the core six D&D type attributes. Well, here they admitted that their characters are going to be stronger to start off, but they'll kind of balance out as they go along when you compare them to 5th edition. And the reason that is they want you to be stronger to start off with, because one of the things they don't do is give you, like in D&D, every fourth level, you can choose to get another attribute point.
Two, actually.
Is it two? Okay. You don't get that here. Pretty much, when you have your starting attributes, that's your attributes. You might be able to change them slightly over time, you know, as you level up to level 20. But the idea is this is your core skeleton. And then, over time, you build up with getting different abilities and talents and whatnot. And so, basically, you get a background, you get a lineage, a heritage, and it's like, it seems like everything you get gives you a little bonus. So, like, and they're all compatible. You know, they all mix together. So lineage and heritage, for example. So we can skip levels and attributes, because that's if you know D&D, you know that. You get that idea. But, let's see. Let's see, you got a dwarf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's various heritages you can choose to go with that dwarf, like Fireforge, Stone, Cloud, Grove, Nomadic, Cosmopolitan. The thing is, those heritages can apply to any lineage. You can have a cosmopolitan dwarf. You can have a cloud human. You can have a stone elf. And whatever your lineage is, gives you some slight things like an elf. Elves get night vision and beast affinity, canopy walker, elf weapon training, languages, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were stone heritage, they get keen senses, which gives you proficiency with perception. Magic ancestry, you have an advantage on saves against being charmed and magic can't put you to sleep. Trance, elves don't need to sleep. Instead, they enter a meditative trance state, remaining semi-conscious for 4 hours a day. You can choose whether or not you dream while meditating. After resting this way, you gain the same benefits that other creatures do from 8 hours of sleep. So, you know, that's pretty nifty that you can effectively make your character something very different from everybody else. And it has an immediately different feel than D&D between, you know, with these heritages, especially since they're open to any lineage and you have backgrounds and whatnot. It's all covered in their playtest materials, which, of course, again, it's playtest material. This isn't official stuff. But it gives you an idea of where they're going with the game. And it's just 12 pages of material, so it's pretty easy to, you know, scan through, give a good look over. What's interesting is they only have three lineages here. Dwarf, elf, and human. They may add to that over time, but from what I understand, they are trying to stick with a epic fantasy sort of feel, not necessarily, well, not to sound negative, but D&D has kind of become a interesting place. With all the different weird races, owlkin, and tabaxi, and, you know, you can play all manner of different creatures. And this is more of a grounded fantasy realm, at least to start off with. That might make it feel more, I don't know, welcoming to the classic role player. Am I wrong there?
Well, if they're looking to pull people away from D&D, that's not how you do it. Because one of the reasons people go towards D&D is all the different races you can play.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, good or bad, that's one of the things I hear from most people as why they're playing the game. You know, they like their Dragonborn, or they like their Tiefling, or they like, you know, playing their little forest gnome.
Right. The problem is that most of those things, like Tieflings and Tabaxi and Owlkin and Dragonborn, a lot of those are, you know, it would be hard for another non-OGL using company to add to their game.
Why not?
Because if they're not covered by the OGL, what other game has a Tabaxi, for example?
Skyrim.
That's not a role-playing game.
Yeah, it is. ESO.
Tabletop role-playing game. Like a.
They have a tabletop Elder Scrolls game.
I know they have a board game. I didn't know that they had a tabletop role-playing game.
I'm pretty sure they have a tabletop game.
But even so,
there are plenty of games out there that have cat people, dog people, etc.
Right. But what I'm saying is they're still not exactly Tabaxi.
Do they have to be Tabaxi? No.
I mean, you could do, you know, half demons or, you know, demons.
Demonkin.
Demonkin. You could do dragonkin, that sort of thing. You could find a way to make it work. Yes. But then a lot of people would say, why should I play this when I've already bought the D&D books and they're just giving me D&D?
No. That's when you differentiate with your mechanics.
Right, which I believe they are.
Right.
Just in Heritages alone, that's fairly interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the next playtest materials to learn more about where they're going with it.
Well, and if you look at the comments about it, some people are like, "Ooh, these are amazing," and other people are like, "Eh, it's pretty dull." You know, they're hoping that the rest of it gets better.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that this was thrown together in the course of a month. They've basically been working on this for about a month, you know, hardcore, trying to push it out. So, yeah, it's going to take a little time, but I'm pretty sure they've got a lot going on here. And this was just to whet people's appetites, too. Give them an idea of what the attributes are going to be. This is what we're looking at. And again, there's no guarantee it's just going to be three races and just, what was it, five or six heritages, that sort of thing. And they didn't really even talk about classes too much. So they did talk a little bit about the types of talents, but again, didn't go into great detail about any of it. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's worth following up on at the very least. I'm going to keep an eye on it.
Well, of course.
And odds are I will buy it because we know it's going to hit Kickstarter at some point. So, yeah.
Well, and you buy everything that comes out on Kickstarter.
No, I don't. If I did, I'd be losing a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kickstarter, though, did you see the announcement from Matthew Colville?
Yeah, that he's making his own game.
I mean, he'd already mentioned it before, but the official word is now out, and they're going to probably have it hitting Kickstarter sometime this year. I'd expect towards the end of the year, so we won't actually see the game out for a while. Unless he has it fully written and good to go, mostly, before it hits Kickstarter, which some companies do. That was the case with Magpie's Avatar tabletop role-playing game, based on the anime.
Mm-hmm.
They had it almost fully written before it hit Kickstarter, and it's in stores now. It's been fully distributed to backers, and you can buy it in stores now. Meanwhile, Urban Shadows 2nd Edition is still in development, even though it hit Kickstarter nearly a year before Avatar did. I'm not bitter. Nah, not at all.
Only a smidge.
Well, no, the funny thing was, and I'll give them credit for this, I was asking in their comments, why was Urban Shadows deprioritized and other projects given priority in development? And people were like, Avatar wasn't given priority, but they made like $9 million, so they had to get it out. And it was already written and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, one of the development leads for, you know, project leads for Urban Shadows did come out and say, yeah, we were having trouble getting Avatar out, so yeah, we had to pull some staff and, you know, go all hands on deck and put that out, but that isn't the only reason that Urban Shadows is so delayed. But yeah, yeah, that happened. Strange how those people haven't apologized to me on the comments. Weird. Anyway, I'm off topic. Do you have any other final thoughts about Black Flag at all?
I mean, I'm all for Black Flag because, you know, competition always helps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll get D&D to up their game. Have you seen what they did to Druids in their latest playtest?
No, I heard they neutered them hard.
Well, they didn't neuter them. They just went, here is a bucket full of bland and just dumped it on them. They have three stats. These are your three stat blocks. So you're telling me that an otter has the same stats as a bear. Really?
This is for like wild shape or something?
Stupid. Yeah, the wild shape is just bland. It's uninspired. It's fucking retarded.
Yeah, I'd heard that if you were into druids for doing the wild shape thing, you were basically fucked.
I mean, you can still turn into an elemental.
Yay.
Or a primal, but even that, still just kind of meh. Mm. They took what was inspiring about playing a druid and just put it in a little corner and said, here. And just, you know, ignored it and just shaped it up to look like, you know, everything else. It's just, ugh.
Fuck 'em. But it is just playtest material.
Oh, and they're getting an earload about this. Everybody's railing against it.
I will say this one thing, though. You know what gets people talking about D&D? Controversy. So, if they stir up a little controversy, just happens to be at the same time they're putting out a new book. Yeah, maybe it upsets people. Oh, man, druids in the new edition are gonna suck. Oh, look, there's a book for 5th edition. I'm sticking with that. Let me buy this book. Because I've heard people like it.
Or they go, wow, they're really screwing things up. I'm done altogether.
Yeah, maybe Pathfinder wasn't that bad. And they go back to it. Or let me try out that Shadows of the Demon Lord or, you know, whatever.
No, it's not a time.
Sorry about that. Repeat the last 10 seconds or so.
I was just saying now is not the time for scandal and controversy. People are still butthurt about the previous BS. They don't forget that easy. This is not the time for screwing around like that. I can't imagine they're doing this on purpose.
Yeah, well, we have seen, you know, the whole January thing did kind of point out that Wizards of the Coast isn't that great with PR. They,
well, at least their higher-ups aren't.
Yeah, they're not really good with dealing with their player base and keeping them happy.
No, they don't know their player base.
Apparently not. You know what'd be interesting, though? If they actually hired people that run Wizards of the Coast that actually play Magic the Gathering and Dungeons & Dragons.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Then, maybe they would actually do a good job. Which is not to say the D&D team doesn't, because they do play D&D, and they have an idea, but they're not the bosses, so
no. They need to make the people who are the bosses play. Or they should hire people who play and love the game.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Anyway, so shall we move on?
Sure.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so that's about all for this week. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Well, No Man's Sky has released Fractals, their latest update, which came with a, drawing a blank on the name now.
New Expedition?
Expedition, yes. It's based in one solar system. So you're going from planet to planet, basically improving the system because it's an abandoned system. You know, there's all of the trade posts, the space station, they're all abandoned. They're just overgrown. Nothing's happening. The market, you know, they're the prices, you know, for the market prices, the economy is just trashed. And so you're going through and you're setting up bases on each planet and doing all these things to improve the economy to, you know, make it a viable system again.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting. I'm not saying, you know, it's like amazing, but it's different. And there's a really cool ship that you get at the end. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Nifty.
You get a new pet, you get a new egg that will hatch into this like robotic pet that'll fly around you.
Huh, okay.
Well, more ship customization things too. So
yeah. So I'm wondering one thing though. How can you possibly have time for that with all your time spent playing Hogwarts Legacy?
Easy. I don't play Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, me either. But a lot of people are.
Yay?
Yeah, just the other day it came out that WB announced that it was their biggest selling game ever, their biggest launch. And in 2 weeks, they've sold 12 million copies, which has earned them about $850 million. And, well, this article I found about it over on GameSpot compared it to Activision's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which earned $1 billion in retail sales over its first 10 days. So Hogwarts Legacy didn't quite sell that much, but close. And the thing is that it would have definitely beaten Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 if it weren't for all that damn trans hate, all the transphobia. And yes, I know not everybody that plays Hogwarts Legacy is a transphobe or a TERF, trans exclusionary radical feminist. But as has been said multiple times, buying Hogwarts Legacy means you are giving some of your money to J.K. Rowling. She gets royalties being a creator of Harry Potter, and she is a TERF and a transphobe. So, buying Hogwarts Legacy is supporting TERFs and transphobia. And I get it. I knew this was going to be a big game, but at the same time, 12 million copies in 2 weeks. And that's really disheartening in a way. Am I wrong?
I mean, people are going to play what they're going to play, whether there's a scandal or not. If it's a good game, it's hard to keep people away.
But it's not.
I say just stick to your guns, vote with your wallet, and move on, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that multiple reviews have showed it's a buggy mess. And when it does work, it's very lackluster and the story just isn't that great. Also, all the anti-Semitism built in. But that's another long-standing issue from Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling, the whole goblins thing. But it just shows that sometimes people's love for a particular fandom, in this case Harry Potter, will overwhelm any sense of decency they might have towards their fellow man, which is kind of sad. But to be honest, really, we shouldn't be surprised by this. Look at all the first-person shooters like Call of Duty, for example, which have done many games in World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're battling another team, one team plays for the Allies and one team plays for the Axis powers. So there's a lot of people running around in German soldier uniforms shooting at Americans and British soldiers and whatnot on the other team. You could argue that, well, the people playing on the German side are supporting fascism, if not outright supporting the Nazis. And they'd argue back, nope, this is just the team I got assigned to. I'm just playing a stupid first-person shooter. It could be skinned as anything else, but this one is skinned in World War II, and so I got assigned to the Axis team. It is what it is. Just like with World of Warships. You can choose all kinds of different ships, but maybe you want to play a battleship in the German line. Does that mean if you're playing, if you're using the Bismarck, for example, does that mean you support Nazis because it's a German ship? No, you're really like Nazis. I mean, not Nazis. You really like naval warfare, and you want to play the Bismarck. It can be argued either way.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference here that people would miss completely is that playing World of Warships or Call of Duty or any of that is not sending residuals to the Nazis. If you go and play on a German team in Call of Duty, a portion of your money is not going to Hitler. And that is not meant to compare J.K. Rowling to Hitler. It is simply an example that, oh, someone could make that argument that, oh, you're supporting Nazis if you play on the German team. No, you're playing a historical battle type of game. Hogwarts Legacy is not that. And it is directly funding a horrible human being, in my opinion. Already has way more money than she could ever spend. So you couldn't pass this game up. Just this one. 12 million people couldn't pass up one game to make a point. One game. You couldn't just say, no, we're not going to buy this one. Sorry, it bothers me.
I don't know why you're surprised.
I'm not surprised, but
it sure sounded.
If it had been 5 million in 2 weeks, okay, that sells pretty well. I get it. You know, I've said before, I understood streamers that were streaming Hogwarts Legacy because it was the biggest game and that's what they needed to play. Variety streamers are kind of tied to what is big at the time. I get it. I don't like it. I wouldn't have done it, but I get it. 5 million, I could understand that. 10 million, no, that's really starting to bug me. 12 million, and nearly $1 billion in sales in 2 weeks. Most of which is going to go to the game company and the publishers and all that. But some of it is going to J.K. Rowling. And that's going to be a substantial residual check for her. And that's where I say, nope, that was fucked up, guys. That really was. So if you're playing J.K. Rowling, it's a little Hogwarts Legacy. And yes, I am going to tie her name to it from now on. If you're playing that, before, I think a couple weeks ago, I had said that I am giving you, just imagine, I am giving you the disapproving stare if you're playing that game. Oh yeah, I am totally giving you the disapproving stare. You done fucked up in Scormy's eyes. Not that anybody cares.
Oh, they don't care.
But that's kind of the problem. They don't care. I could go on for half an hour about this, about how everybody is about their own shit and don't worry about how this affects real lives. But hell, to some people, trans people aren't people. They think of them as subhuman. They're degenerates. Yeah, well, we have a friend who is a trans person.
Several, actually.
Yeah, but we're not bringing up names here. Their privacy is, you know, that's important to them. Fine. Great. And while I'm not a perfect ally, I screw up all the damn time. I have a really hard time with names.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I do my best, sometimes in the, you know, just in a quick discussion, I'll throw out an old name and, oh shit, I fucked up. But I'm trying. I'm doing my best. If I knew that a game coming out was going to support someone who hates these people, they say, oh no, I've got trans friends. And then deliberately try to take away their rights. No, that's not how this works. That's like a Republican saying they've got black friends. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's ridiculous. And I'm sorry. I don't like it. I disapprove. Not that you care, but if you cared, you wouldn't have bought Hogwarts Legacy in the first place. And I don't mean you, Bealus. I mean that 12 million people out there who are blissfully playing through their lackluster little fantasy game. Ooh, I get to play in, like I'm in Hogwarts. Yay, I got my wand. Uh-huh. Have fun with that. And in a year or two, if you hear that legislation has been pushed in Britain that takes rights, some or all rights, away from trans people, just know that a little bit of your money went towards that. Because a good portion of J.K. Rowling's money is. Just saying. Need to center myself and breathe a moment. That would have been probably a better main topic than our last main topic.
Probably.
Oh, well, what's done is done. So, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
Generic catchphrase ending?
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly fuck off.